House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll.
36 members present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Moss and Metcalf are excused from the call today.
The prayer today is by Pastor James Patton of the Chapel by the Lake. Members, please rise for the prayer.
Let us all pray. Once again, O Lord, our God, we pause to acknowledge your sovereignty, to salute your presence, to seek your guidance. Remind us, O God, that all things belong to you, that you have given us the stewardship of the earth and of its resources. Look with favor upon this legislative body and upon the individual members of it. Give them compassion for those affected by legislative decisions and a renewed sense of responsibility and of dedication. We thank you, O God, for the accomplishments of yesterday and for the challenges of tomorrow. In the name of Christ, amen.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread in the journal. The record please reflect that Representative Brown is present. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, before we go any further on the agenda, I'd like to point out that we've got a card here for Pappy, and going to ask members to just pass it on as we go through business today and hopefully have it all signed. I'd ask Vince to make sure that if anybody's missing there, that he catch them and make sure that they sign it. That's if members so choose to do. Going to do that.
Are there guests for introduction to the House? Will the Chief Clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 93rd day, House Supplement Number 47, and Joint House Senate Supplement Number 8.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 93rd day, House Supplement Number 47, and Joint House Senate Supplement Number 8 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
If there's no objection, the journal and journal supplement will stand approved. Are there guests for introduction to the House today? Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, we have a young lady, the daughter of the Reverend who gave the invocation today. She's a sixth grade student at Ock Bay, now attending Glacier Valley, Mandy Patton.
Further guests for introduction, Representative Smith.
In Gallery B, we have a journalist from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, who I believe is now with the Polar Star, Mike Sika.
Messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, on April 8, 1980, I submitted the name of Mrs. Jean O'Sullivan for confirmation of her appointment to the Commission on Judicial Qualifications. It was brought to my attention that there was an error in our files as to the expiration date of her predecessor. Therefore, at this time, I am requesting that you remove Mrs. O'Sullivan's name from your confirmation list. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. Mr. Speaker, I have signed the following and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Joint Resolution Number 70, amended Senate, relating to operations at Bush Airports in Alaska, Legislative Resolve Number 10. Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 122, providing for the payment of Alaska permanent fund income to state residents and providing for an effective date, Chapter 21, SLA 1980. Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 394, relating to tax credits, exemptions, and refunds for individuals under the Alaska Net Income Tax Act and providing for an effective date, Chapter 22, SLA 1980. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Just for the interest of members of the body, we just found out that tests for PAPI are almost concluded. The problem has been isolated and it will not require surgery in the immediate future. And it's possible that PAPI will be back in 1 or 2 weeks.
That's a message from above. Are there further messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. The Senate adopted the Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 122 and the Free Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 394. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
Fiscal notes have been received on House Bill 389, 865, and sponsor substitute for House Bill 779. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Joint Resolution 54 relating to marine sanitation requirements imposed by the U.S. Coast Guard regulations under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Halford, Chatterton, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbach. Senate Joint Resolution number 54 has no further referral. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Joint Resolution 60, approving the Lake Elva Hydroelectric Generation Project under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 60 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Carney, Branson, Parr, Metcalf, and Parker. House Joint Resolution number 60 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 416, Sale of Unpasteurized Milk, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 416 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Halford, Fuller, Jaroff, Osterbach, and Carney. Chatterton has no recommendation. House Bill 416 has no further referral. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 514. Increasing the minimum benefits of retired legislators under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 514 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Fuller, Eliason, Gardner, and Martin. House Bill 514 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 640, Special Appropriation to the Alaska Power Authority for a study of hydroelectric development in the Tanana area under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 640 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Branson, Carney, and Parr. Metcalf has no recommendation. House Bill 640 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Commerce is at House Bill 1005, Continuing Existence of the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors and Amending the Statutes Relating to Its Powers and Responsibilities under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Munson, Halford, Bettisworth, Osterbach, and Brown. Randolph has no recommendation. House Bill 1005 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Jim Dufresne by Representatives Duncan and Miller. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 1007 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to comprehensive health planning.
Hess.
House Bill 1008 by the Finance Committee by request, an act relating to prison industries and the property rights of prisoners.
Judiciary.
House Bill 1009 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to the Public Employment Relations Act, authorizing teachers to engage in collective bargaining under the Public Employment Relations Act and repealing the provisions relating to collective bargaining by teachers under AS 14.
State Affairs.
House Bill 1010 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to state aid for local capital projects, establishing the Capital Projects Foundation Fund and providing for an effective date.
CRA and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of daily calendar. Representative Parr.
We have brief news, Mr. Speaker.
House Police Sanity. Back to order. On House Bill 1009 that was introduced this morning, be changed from a state affairs referral to a judiciary referral, single referral to judiciary. Also, the Senate discharged their free conference committee on committee substitute for House Bill 91. That's kind of a dead bill left over from last year. So to clean the record up, I'm going to discharge our free conference committee on the same bill, so the record's clean. It's a supplemental appropriation department law. It was a potential Christmas tree, I think. The bill still will be somewhere as alive, but not well. The brings us to today's calendar. Will the chief clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 389 by Phillips, Cotton, and Halford by request. An act relating to state regulation of fireworks and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has set House Bill 389 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Munson, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Halford, Bettesworth, Randolph, Munson, and Brown. The Committee on Judiciary has set House Bill 389 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, and also a fiscal note was forthcoming, and it is on your desk. The report was signing do pass, Phillips, Martin, Barnes, O'Connell, and Parr. Malone has no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 389 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill number 389 will be engrossed, advanced, third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
House Bill number 389 by Phillips, Cotton, and Halford by request. An act relating to state regulation of fireworks and providing for an effective date.
Representative Phillips.
Speaker, I'll try to make this brief. First of all, there's two sheets of paper on your desk. One's a newspaper article giving you a history of this piece of legislation as of back in 69, and then this legislation that I have before the floor. The second sheet is a bill analysis of House Bill 389. Back in 1969, the state legislature passed a fireworks bill that virtually prohibited wholesalers to obtain insurance in order to sell the fireworks to the retailers in the state. And what I'm trying to do right here with this bill is to make that possible for Alaskan wholesalers to sell fireworks and legally in the state and to obtain insurance. This is by request of a constituent of ours in District 8, and what it does, basically, it changes the products liability to public liability, then changes the body injury or death liability from $300,000 to $200,000, and in property from $100,000 to $50,000. The second major change is in Section 2, which is the application fees, license fees. It's from $500 to $100 right now. And if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Representative Brown.
This is the famous Eagle River fireworks bill. We've seen it before. I think we passed it one or two times. And I don't know, two times? Okay, I guess they're going to have a big fireworks operation in Eagle River or something. Nothing wrong with the bill.
Question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 389. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
33 yeas, 4 nays.
House Bill 389 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill number 389 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next bill.
House Bill number 447 by the Commerce Committee. An act terminating the existence of the Board of Nursing Home Administrators on January 1, 1981 and reassigning its responsibilities to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 447 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Schaefer, Guy, Duncan, McKinnon, and Rogers. Having no recommendation, Montgomery and Haugen. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 447 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill number 447 will be engrossed, advanced, third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
House Bill number 447 by the Commerce Committee, an act terminating the existence of the Board of Nursing Home Administrators on January 1, 1981, and reassigning its responsibilities to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and providing for an effective date.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, this is something left over from the strange way we adjourned last year. It should have passed the House. It was kind of left on the shelf. The position of the House Commerce Committee and of the House last year with regard to these various health boards was that several of them should be terminated, four of them should be retained, various functions with regard to the regulation of these professions and health activities should be turned over to the Division of Occupational Licensing. To some extent, it is argued that that is an outdated position, and of course we're listening carefully to those arguments based upon recent experience with the division, among other things. But the practical operation is that we have to send the other body a title. And I'm not supposed to talk too much about the other body on this floor, but I think that is very necessary. Of course, if we don't take any action, and if we do not take any action, then this board is terminated June 30 of this year rather than January 1 of next year. That's part of the problem. And the testimony before the Commerce Committee last year was that the board members themselves admitted that the only reason they exist is to funnel federal money. Unlike other health profession boards, they really don't do much regulating. The major dispute that's going on, and people in both chambers are attempting to get the most accurate information, and you know what that's like when you're dealing with the federal government. It's kind of like being bitten to death by ducks. Who do you believe? But generally, we're trying to get the most accurate information on whatever is the bare minimum with regard to regulation in this area or the existence or non-existence of this board or some substitute for it, so that we will be able to get the federal money, because that unlike the other health boards, that's the only reason this board exists. Last year and earlier this year, our most recent information was that we could do this, and as long as we had a licensing scheme, that was sufficient to get the federal money. It is now claimed, and it may be true, that that is not the position, and by sending the other body this title, we keep the bill alive, we keep the issue alive, they can address it, and we can act on the most accurate information we have before the end of the session. I urge the passage of the bill.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When we had this bill up in finance, we took a look at what the cost of not passing it is. Federal law requires licensing of nursing home administrators in order for states to be eligible to receive Medicaid funds for nursing homes. That's the majority of the Medicaid funds we receive from the federal government. If we don't have some regulation of nursing home administrators, we will lose an estimated $14 million in federal receipts for Medicaid. And we prepared the FY81 budget with the passage of some form of regulation in mind. If we do not pass this bill, we'll have to add $14 million to the budget.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. I feel a little bit nervous about voting for a bill that terminates a board that I think maybe should be kept in existence for 14 million reasons. Do I understand definitely that in consultation with the other body that we can't talk about, it is the plan to make sure that we don't lose that $14 million in federal aid, and that we it's not going to slip between the cracks or anything like that, and the other body's just as aware of the problem as we are. Is that correct?
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, that is quite correct. The reason to get the bill on the floor now and get it over there is so that the matter won't fall between the cracks. The only argument is we want to do whatever is the bare minimum to regulate in this area to get the federal money. Our information for a while was this system of regulation would be enough. Other people are checking. There is some dispute on the issue. And we are working with the other body on that issue. And just as long as some forces that occasionally irrationally move in this legislature don't move too fast, we'll have the information and be able to address the matter. As it is now, if we pass no bill under the sunset law, this board and the entire licensing scheme of any sort dies June 30, and then we for sure don't get those $14 million.
Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, just an observation on this bill that probably as the state moves more aggressively into the nursing home business, as it is doing, we won't need this bill. We won't need to license nursing home administrators. I think we're going to see a trend in the future as the state budget expands for the state to get into lots of other businesses. And as the state gets into businesses, it's operating businesses of any type, it certainly is going to drive out the private sector, and that's what it's doing in the nursing home business right now.
Question for the House, the final passage of House Bill 447. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Excuse me. 36 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 447 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, I believe there's a...
Excuse me, she said it was 37 yeas. I'm sorry.
I have a correct count. House Bill 447 has passed the House. There is an effective date clause, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill number 447 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 779 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Joint Committee on Small Hydroelectric and Geothermal Power, an act relating to the development of geothermal resources. The Committee on Resources has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 779 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 779 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, concurred in by Miles, Osterbach, Jaroff, Fuller, Chatterton, and Cotton. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Resources Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 779 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 779 will be adopted. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, may I have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 779 is in second reading. There are no amendments. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 779 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, committee substitute for House Bill 779 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 779 by the Resources Committee, an act relating to state resources and the development of geothermal resources.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have 779 before us basically because the state knows very little about geothermal resources. Not a hell of a lot of people know much about geothermal, but we have potential here in the state that's known,
To the exact extent, what we can do with it, how it can be commercially developed is unknown. That's why we have 779 before us. It substantially rewrites the existing law, which is long, complicated, and cumbersome. It's a product, a work product of Department of Natural Resources, of the Legislative Small Hydro and Geothermal Committee, and the National Conference of State Legislators. Going through the bill section by section, Mr. Speaker, first section is a policy statement which says we want to foster the use and the development of this this resource while safeguarding the state with the standard means. Section 2 is essentially a technical amendment that amends the contract for the sale of state land to include geothermal resources. Section 3 again is a another technical amendment that says geothermal users must make provision to pay owners for any damages. Section 4 is the guts of the bill, and it deals essentially with permitting and leasing. And we break it down, we break geothermal resources down in two categories, under 120 degrees Celsius and over 120. Over 120 degrees Celsius is considered geothermal. That figure was used, it's somewhat arbitrary, but it's used because under 120 is considered mighty hot water. Over 120 is considered commercial and can be used to power generators and things of that nature. Section 5 is definition section. Section 6 allows the Commissioner of Natural Resources jurisdiction over the resource. Section 7 requires a state geologist to conduct surveys to determine the resource potential in the state. As I mentioned before, we just don't know what the potential is right now. Section 8 says that appropriation permits can be terminated. And Sections 10 and 11 in essence, again, clarify the difference that geothermal resources are not water. They're not to be appropriated. They're to be managed in a correlative rights manner. One of the Fairbanks representatives asked me to speak to the question on page 6, lines 8 through 14. Which says the authority of the commissioner applies to private, municipal, state, federal land in the state lawfully subject to the police power of the state, etc. He was concerned especially about the Fairbanks, Hot Springs, Cheen, and Manly. They do not come under the purview of this bill. They're below the 120 degrees Celsius.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, on my desk there is a fiscal note. How do we plan to deal with that in this body? I don't note that there's a notice that there's a finance committee reference. Has the finance committee waived it, or are we outside our rules?
Representative Cotton.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, that was sort of a surprise to several of us this morning. The Resources Committee never did approve any fiscal note, nor did the Rules Committee. So. It's my opinion that there's no official fiscal note being approved with this bill, and there is no fiscal note.
Speaker.
Fred?
Just like to.
Representative Brown.
I don't know. That's all right. It's been a long week, Mr. Speaker, and a long weekend.
It just shows I know your first name by now.
Only taken you 6 years. Mr. Speaker, remarks of the co-chairman of the Resource Committee bothered me a little bit. At least when I was a kid, I remember going to Circle Hot Springs, and some of the water there was about 150 to 180 degrees, according to the people that were running the shop. I don't know if that's still true or not. And I don't know if that means that they're affected by the bill adversely or what.
Representative Rogers?
Yes, Circle Hot Springs is 40 degrees Fahrenheit, not Celsius.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, some clarification on the fiscal note.
Is there no fiscal note, which I have in my hand, are we saying there's no cost involved in the passage of this bill, therefore there should be no fiscal note?
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, in order to have a fiscal note funded, it has to be approved by the Finance Committee, and then the money has to be appropriated in the budget. If the Finance Committee doesn't approve the fiscal note, the money will not be appropriated in the budget. The fiscal notes many times are prepared by the department, in this case by the Department of Natural Resources. It wasn't approved by any committees. The Finance Committee, to my understanding, doesn't intend to fund it. So there is no fiscal note, although there was a recommended fiscal note.
Representative Brown.
Well, following the non-debate on the non-fiscal note, Mr. Speaker, I guess I left out my fraction, my 5/9 and my 32. I apologize that I hadn't seen the Celsius rather than the Fahrenheit in the bill.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to address myself to this bill. I think the guts of the bill are on line one, or page one, line 23, and that whole section is basically guts. What we're doing here is adding to a whole list of other resources which the people are giving up to the state, geothermal resources. Mr. Speaker, the major problem we have in this state, I think, is the fact that that the state of Alaska has way too much under its control and the people have way too little. With the Statehood Act, we were forced more or less to agree to some very unfortunate circumstances in giving up the people, gave up the right to own and control oil and gas and coal and other natural resources. In other words, we gave to the state the right to own all that primary wealth. And here we're taking another very major resource and voluntarily giving it up to the state. Now, the difference between, you know, I'm just going to read the declaration section up here because I think it very clearly says, but then the rest of the bill seems to violate it. It says it is declared to be in the public interest to foster and promote the discovery, development, production, and of primary and cascade use and disposal of geothermal resources in the state in a manner that will prevent waste, provide for maximum economic recovery, protect correlative rights, and safeguard the natural environment and the public welfare. I would submit to you, sir, that the private enterprise system can do that a whole lot better than a socialistic system. And a socialistic system is one in where the state, the government, owns and controls all the primary wealth and means of production. And anyone who votes for this bill is saying very, very clearly that they favor government ownership and control of the primary wealth over private ownership and control of the primary wealth.
Representative Brown.
Well, since that's a dictionary definition.
Representative Brown, what are you speaking to?
I would like to address. I'm sorry. Was he not finished?
He's not finished.
Excuse me.
I was right in the middle of a word. I think Mr. Brown very clearly. I wasn't finished.
Representative Randolph.
We'll have to remove the pillar, I guess. That's what I'm trying to do here: is remove a pillar, a fairly large pillar we're going to be setting up. I'll be glad to, since Mr. Brown has telegraphed what he's going to say, I'll be glad to submit dictionary definition of socialism, which is roughly paraphrased state ownership and control of production and means of production. In this state, that means primarily mineral wealth. And I'm very much opposed to us giving up a very basic resource to the state and precluding individual people from ownership and use of it.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, usually using such, and I do apologize, and it really was the pillars, usually the use of such dictionary definitions and phrases is the least illuminating style of debate on this floor, in my experience. And I don't really think that the revolution has come yet or is written into this bill. And I'm not too worried about it somehow.
Question for the House. Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I intend to vote no on this bill, and I share Mr. Randolph's concerns that the bill does take from the private sector and does vest in the state too much more authority. In the state of Texas, all of the subsurface gases, coals, oils, ores, minerals, fissionable materials, and the whole works are all owned by the private sector. Not all of it, but most of it. And in most other states, it's the same way, too. And I know in my home state of Pennsylvania, if you buy a piece of land there, the subsurface rights go with the land. We don't have the state involved in the ownership of the means of production. And for the life of me, I can't understand what difference there is between Alaska and a socialist or communist state if we adopt this type of language here. Because what it says is that the state's going to own all these things. The state owns all the land now. The land should be in here because the state, in fact, owns practically all the land, 99% of the land. What's the difference between Alaska and some communist state when you come right down to it in that concept? I want to vote no. I think it's bad business. I think the intents are good. Intentions are good here. But I think the representative, my constituent from District 7, is misdirected, and I think that I think he should look more to the private sector to handle this. We don't need the state involved in this. Thank you.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In reference to the comments by the preceding speaker, I think if you will look in his set of statutes in Volume 1 on page 100, you'll find the Alaska Statehood Act, and he'll find that the state has no choice on those subsurface resources he was talking about. If we do in any way alienate those, then we lose them back to the federal government. Now, he might prefer to have Uncle Sam control them instead of us, but that's a different matter. And thing is that oil and gas were energy resources, and geothermal is another energy resource under that subsurface.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, how soon we forget. Yesterday, we distributed about $500 million to the people of Alaska because Alaska owns the subsurface resources of this state. They don't. It was distributed here on this floor, on the floor down the hall, instead of in some boardroom in Texas to a bunch of oil stockholders. We gave the people's share to the people of Alaska in the form of dividends, simply because somebody some years back inserted oils into here. Now we're inserting geothermal, which is another subsurface resource. For the life of me, I can't even figure out what we're talking about.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to do the best I can over the next couple of days to remain ill and as pale as possible so there'll be no confusion about the difference between this and appearing to be pink based upon the unusual debate on the floor of the House today.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I'll try to explain to Mr. Miller what I'm talking about. When I first moved to Alaska back in 1960, I knew literally hundreds of people who had oil and gas leases, or at least options on oil and gas leases. And in this state, many, many people had the very bright hope of being one of those rich people who had made some money off the resources. That's what private enterprise is all about. What we did yesterday was a really backdoor way of getting a really minor amount of what really should belong to the people back to the people. And it was really not a very good way of going about it in the first place, because a lot of people are going to get benefits from that who really don't deserve it, who did nothing to implement the production of that gas and oil, and who frankly don't deserve it in a free market system. What we're talking about here, and I very much agree with what Mr. Byrne had to say, is the difference between a free enterprise system and a system that's totally controlled by some government. And I really don't care if I'm chained to a wall, whether it's by the federal government, the state government, or the local government. I think it's really clear. All of you folks know as well as I do that 20, 25 years ago, people in this state had the hope that they could join the great American dream, go out and work and achieve and build and sacrifice and fail or succeed upon their own merits. What we've done in this state since then has taken that all away from them. You can sit down and get your dole from the state, all right, but you have a heck of a time going out and earn it on your own. And that's what I'm talking about.
Representative Cotton.
I think we're sort of losing sight of what we're talking about here. There's a couple areas of the state where there's a geothermal resource that really isn't very practical for somebody to develop on their own. We had a bill in resources the other day, and there was a request for several hundred thousand dollars of state money to go out in a couple of the islands in the Aleutians and get to work on some of these resources. I don't think anybody's going to be able to go down and drill a hole down through a volcano down on the Alaska Peninsula and get some steam out of there enough to generate some energy on their own. I think it's going to take a government operation to do it. I think it's, as Mr. Miller and others have pointed out, it is a resource that's similar in some ways to oil. It's certainly nothing that we're going to be able to end up distributing money from, but it's a commonly owned resource owned by the people of Alaska, and hopefully we'll be able to put some of it to use. But it's going to take a government effort. And I think that, again, that a lot of people that have been speaking about this sort of lost sight of what we're talking about.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My colleague from Fairbanks, who belongs, I guess, as Mr. Brown might say, to the newest political party, was talking about these people having these leases and one thing and another. Unless I've misread the bill, it does provide for prospecting and provides for leasing in various sorts. It was very kind. He's in favor of, so I don't really understand what his problem is there.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I apologize for standing once more, but I would like to answer a couple of things. Speaking to Mr. Parr's suggestion, the type of leasing that I see contemplated in this bill is the same type of leasing we have in the oil industry, which is extremely confined to the biggies. And if the state was, in fact, allowing for leasing to independent oil companies and independent people, that wouldn't be one thing. We have no history of that, and I have no illusion that that's likely to happen. As far as this being happened to be done by a government, the only reason in the world a government can have the financial resource to do something is they've taxed somebody to get the money, if they're functioning as a proper government. Government has no money on its own and has no ability to do anything on its own unless it first has taken that away from somebody. So all I'm saying is let's let the people keep the money, and they'll have the money to go drill a hole in a volcano or to drill for gas and oil, as they do all over the United States and all the world, for that matter.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know anything about this bill, but judging by the debate on the floor, I think that qualifies me to talk on it. Mr. Speaker, I do know something about the state's oil and gas leasing program, and I would point out to the membership that the state did hold a sale last year, I think in the Copper River Basin area, where a number of individuals and a number of very small groups were successful in securing leases. Now, I think that the state's leasing program is progressive, and I think that that would apply to anything that happens under this legislation as well.
Question for Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill, there's one page that deals with exactly what's reserved to the state. It doesn't take anything away from the private sector. In fact, it allows, by the 120 degree centigrade definition, which is, as we all know, well above boiling, it allows a lot of small geothermal resources a different treatment and not a restrictive treatment. But the first page deals with reservations of the state. The other 10-plus pages deal with ways that people can use that resource. And the resource can be used better through the bill than the existing situation in which the resources are still, including geothermal resources, reserved to the state now. You don't get geothermal resources in a patent you get from the state now, and you haven't for a number of years. Thank you.
Representative Barnes. Representative Halford?
Yeah, they are new language in this statute. However, under other statutes, they're still reserved to the state in existing law.
The question for the House is the final passage of committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 779. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
28 yeas, 9 nays.
House Bill 779 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill number 994 by the Commerce Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Board of Welding Examiners and amending the statute relating to its powers and responsibilities and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 994 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 994 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Munson, Halford, Bettesworth, Osterbach, and Brown. Signing do not pass, Randolph. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill number 994 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
If there's no objection, committee substitute for House Bill number 994 will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 994 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, committee substitute for House Bill number 994 will be engrossed, advanced, third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 994 by the Commerce Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Board of Welding Examiners and amending the statute relating to its powers and responsibilities and providing for an effective date.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, things are going a little better this year under sunset, in my opinion. The various boards seem to be more savvy and more responsible and more responsive to the sunset process. I don't know, maybe the committee's cleaned up its act too, I don't know, but this bill is a product of working with the board, taking into account the criticisms raised by the legislative auditor, and one of the reasons that I've asked that it be considered this early, although, you know, maybe nothing's early right now, is that we're hoping we can get the legislation through by the time they've already set for their next meeting, which is toward the end of this month. I don't remember the exact date. Reason for that is that some of the problems with regard to this area are addressed in the bill and cleaned up, and some of them are expected in regulations that actually have been worked out and negotiated between the board and the committee and between the Attorney General's Office and the Legislative Affairs Agency. I hope that's not too much of a violation of separation of powers, but it seems to work well in this case. Some of the kinds of things involved are, for instance, that, like Section 7 of the bill, I'll just give one example here, page 2, lines 18 to 21. There you'll see a deletion for all welders throughout the state, because, of course, that's kind of an interesting closed shop, and the thing we raised in the committee and that was raised in the audit was that we don't really think that this board ought to be regulating everybody who does some welding as incidental to his business if he runs an auto repair shop or something, unless he puts himself forward as a welder principally, kind of like a primary business exemption of the sort that we've talked about in deregulation or attempted deregulation in other areas. That's a very short statement there, but then there's going to be some extensive elaboration on that in the regulations. I urge the passage of the bill, and I think that although the board did have some serious criticisms raised of it, after the audit report came out and even before we started meeting with the board, and after we started meeting with the board, they have been very cooperative and seem to be not trying to avoid the sunset process and trying to address the concerns that came up during the sunset process.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support the continuance of the board, but I've got a question about two sections that seem maybe have some conflict between them. Section 3 says that we'll have three members from the list and then two public members, at least one of whom has a general knowledge of welding. Then in Section 4, we say two members are welding inspectors and two are people with engineering degrees or engineers with 3 years' experience in welding. That adds up to four, and it adds up to more than general knowledge of welding, I think. And I wonder if there's a problem between these two sections.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, there may be. We might have had an error in the drafting. Can I have a short at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Come back to order. There is an amendment. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Proposed amendment number 1 by Rogers and Brown. Page 2, lines 5 through 8. Delete the sentence "at least through in welding." Insert "at least one member shall have an engineering degree or registration as an engineer and shall have at least 5 years' engineering experience and at least 3 years' experience in welding."
Representative Rogers.
I'd move and ask unanimous consent we return to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment.
Is there objection? There's no objection. We're in second reading. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Rogers and Brown. Page 2, lines 5 through 8. Delete at sentence "at least through in welding." Insert "at least one member shall have an engineering degree or registration as an engineer and shall have at least 5 years' engineering experience and at least 3 years' experience in welding."
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? Is there objection? There is objection. Representative House, please stand at ease. There was an objection on the adoption of the amendment. Representative O'Connell. Is there further objection? If there's no further objection, the amendment's adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 994, amended by the House, be considered in gross advance to third reading and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill number 994 will be in gross advance, third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill on third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 994, amended by the Commerce Committee. An act continuing the existence of the Board of Welding Examiners and amending the statute relating to its powers and responsibilities and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 994 is for the House in final passage. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final vote.
30 yeas, 4 nays.
House Bill 994 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 994, amended by the House, be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call on final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve reconsideration, notice of reconsideration of my vote on sponsor substitute for House Bill 779.
Your notice of reconsideration is noted. Representative Brown. Representative Rogers.
With the concurrence of my colleague from Fairbanks, I'd like to ask unanimous consent that the reconsideration on House Bill 779 be brought up at this time.
If there's no objection, the reconsideration of House Bill 779 is before the House. Would clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 779 by the Resources Committee, an act relating to state resources and the development of geothermal resources.
Speaker,
Representative Brown.
I'll try to get it right, Mr. Speaker. I hit the wrong button. I wanted to be on the record voting for the bill. I appreciate the consideration of the resources, Chairman.
Okay. The green is... The question before the House, the final passage of House Committee Substitute, Sponsor Substitute, and House Bill 779. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
28 yeas, 7 nays.
House Bill 779 has passed the House on reconsideration. Brings us to the last item on the calendar. Clerk, please read the citation.
Citation honoring the first statewide conference of Filipinos in Alaska by Representatives Miller, Buchholz, and Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor on the bill asking unanimous consent.
There's no objection. Representative Anderson will be shown as a co-sponsor. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like my name shown as a co-sponsor on the citation as well, if there's no objection.
Are there any others you can raise your hand that want to be co-sponsors?
Oh, boy.
Representative Malone. How about somebody doing me a favor, making a motion?
Sure.
Representative Brown.
I move that it be shown as sponsored by all members of the House.
There's no objection. It will be shown as sponsored by all members of the House. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I was going to make that motion. Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent for the approval of the citation.
There's no objection. The citation is approved. That completes today's calendar, brings us to unfinished business. Representative Rogers.
May we revert to introduction of guests?
Representative Rogers.
In the press gallery in front of Gallery A, one of the best, I think, journalism professors at the University of Alaska is down with the journalism class, and they'll be here tomorrow, I guess, but I'd like to introduce Jake Hyten.
Representative Anderson. House, please stand at ease. Come back to order. Are there any items of unfinished business? Representative Randolph.
Speaker, I'd like to ask to be excused on the 17th and 18th of April.
There's no objection. Representative Randolph is excused on the 17th and 18th of April. If there's no other items of unfinished business, committee announcements. Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a Democratic caucus immediately upon adjournment.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, there will be a Republican caucus on adjournment.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, the House Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to consider, consider sunset legislation regarding marine pilots. House Bill 978, again on the Board of Hairdressers and Barbers. We may be bringing up some of the other bills that have been before us on sunset if the final versions of the committee substitutes are ready to sign up.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, in state affairs today, we will not have an actual bill before us. However, we have a situation that's developed that's very critical for the state. Apparently, the federal government has withdrawn some $400,000 or more in that had previously been designated for Alaska for grants for historic structures and quite a number of people who own and maintain historic structures have borrowed money from the bank at pretty high interest on the assumption they were going to get these grants, which had been promised them by the federal government. We'll be dealing with that subject today. We'll have the people from Anchorage, from the Division of Parks, who administers those funds, and we'll be taking that up at 1:30 today in State Affairs.
Representative Montgomery.
Free Conference Committee, Senate Bill 199, School Funding, Senate Finance at 11:30.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just here, I meet at 3 this afternoon. House Bill 682, Regulating Adoption and Relinquish Procedures, and House Bill 792, Access to Adoption Records. And the same two bills will be up tonight at 7:30.
Representative Montgomery, was that 11:30? I think there may be a problem since we have a caucus, so it may have to be delayed. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'm sorry, I meant under unfinished business to rise. I'd like to waive HCR 39, which is a concurrent resolution establishing a standing committee in the legislature on transportation.
I waive that with the understanding that that'll receive committee action and not just calendaring action on which in the next committee, which would be rules.
HCR 39's referral to State Affairs Committee will be waived. Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Yes Committee will meet this afternoon, 1:30, and it will work on House Bill 637, Purchase of Services by the State, and House Bill 922, Care Costs for Foster Homes.
Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, House Resources will meet today at 3, and if necessary, tonight at 7, for subcommittee review work on energy conservation.
Representative Freeman.
Finance Committee will meet at 1:30, Mr. Speaker. Under consideration will be House Bill 208 relating to pension fund investments, House Bill 904 regarding audit oil and gas royalty, House Bill 354, amendment to the revenue statute, House Bill 932 to create Office of Rural Development, House Bill 711, supplemental appropriation to the HESS, and House Bill 512, historical district loans.
Are there other announcements? Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, I announced yesterday, but I'll re-announce that CRA is meeting at 1:30 in the Governor's Conference Room for a teleconference on the Capital Foundation bill. Also at 3:30 in the State Affairs Room, the Election Revision Free Commerce Committee will meet.
No further announcements. Special orders. Representative Carney.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to privilege the floor to speak on responding to the will of the people.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today is the 94th day of this session. Mr. Speaker, we were elected and we are here to represent the people and make laws at the request of the people. We hear a lot of rhetoric about the responsibilities to honestly represent the will of the people. Sometimes we are forced to guess about what the majority of the people want. Sometimes we guess wrong. It is usually a simple matter to deal with an issue when we are certain of the will of the majority. There's one exception that we are all aware of, and that's the capital move. We know what the people want. They have twice passed law by initiative to make certain we know. When we failed to provide them with a mechanism to move the capital at a reasonable cost, they said no. Now the people of this state have created another law, commonly known as the Frank Initiative. And what that law says is that this legislature shall create a commission to determine bondable costs of the capital move through the year 1992, and that figure shall go on the ballot. A very simple request, Mr. Speaker, not too difficult to understand. Many of you say that the people didn't know what they were voting on, so we don't need to respond, or that we need to amend to make it easier for us to deal with. There are others who claim that they meant the former Capital Planning Commission. Mr. Speaker, I believe that the Frank Initiative means exactly what it says. If they had meant the Capital Planning Commission, they would have said that. I believe that it is an insult to the citizens of this state to infer that they are so ignorant that they don't know what they are voting on. We as a legislative body could not solve the problem of the capital move. Now the people of Alaska have gone to a great deal of trouble to pass an initiative. They directed us to create a body to put a figure on the ballot for their approval or disapproval. Do we intend to ignore that mandate? Are we not here as honorable men to represent the people? Do we intend to insult the fine citizens of this state by ignoring the law? While we continue to pass statute after statute, which we enforce, the initiative of the people is law, Mr. Speaker. And if we do not comply, we should be treated like any lawbreaker. We should forfeit our right to represent the people and go home in disgrace. Mr. Speaker, I believe that there is no honorable way that we can adjourn the work of this legislative session without addressing one of the most important issues before us. I call upon members of this body and our colleagues in the Senate to refuse to go home until a commission has been created and a figure determined for the ballot in November. Thank you.
Representative Carney, before somebody else corrects you, there's honorable women also. Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I suppose there are other kinds of men and women too, but I'm raising the presumption we're all honorable. Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to make an informal report to the body?
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, a few weeks ago you assigned the Commerce Committee and to look into matters involving alleged sex discrimination and hiring on the Cook Inlet oil rigs, a function that normally the legislative branch would not be involved in, but because there were also allegations of unresponsiveness of the Human Rights Commission and possibly other branches of the executive branch, I presume that's why it was assigned. Because there was some, where there were some strange press reports coming out on Monday in the latter editions of one of our most creative newspapers, I thought I'd comment about what really happened on Monday, since the I said creative because it's very interesting to read about the legislature they report in that paper. I've never seen the one they report in that paper. I don't know where it exists, but it's always very exciting to read about it. Anyway, what we were really doing in the real world, Mr. Speaker, was not holding a public hearing, not holding a public meeting, and not holding a meeting. The House Commerce Committee was meeting in Juneau and doing things behind my back while I was in Anchorage. Mr. Parker and I were there in office interviews with many of the people involved. I had asked Mr. Miller to provide a member of the State Affairs Committee, himself or another member, because of the jurisdiction of that committee over the House over the Human Rights Commission. And we had staffers from Judiciary and Commerce to aid us, and the investigator that we have retained to look into the matter. This was to begin the interviews of all of the different people involved, many of whom wouldn't really like to see each other in the same room or going in and out or necessarily even be seen, just to gather information. Somehow or other, it was circulated by some overzealous supporters of some of the people on one side of the controversy that it was going to be a public hearing and a public meeting. And I was presented with the dilemma of going out and constantly explaining and re-explaining all day to 15 reporters from 3 TV stations, 2 newspapers, and God knows how many radio stations, or spending the limited amount of time that we had available in Anchorage to do what we had come there for. So I did take a calculated risk, so I suppose I'm partly to blame about the rather creative and slightly irrelevant story that appeared in our favorite newspaper in Anchorage later in the afternoon that day. Thank you very much.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the floor to say thank you to the legislature for the citation?
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This really is something that I want to say to all of you. Salamat po, maraming salamat. Diyos tiyag ni nakadakayu amin. Sa pinga umay kay tu jay JD Auditorium, tap numakita yuti, pakita mi jay pabuya mi kadakayu. I just want to say that while we are having the conference, we are going to show you some of our culture. You can attend the conference that we are going to have in Juneau. We will also have some cultural show. We have people from Seattle who will perform, as well as from Hawaii. And I hope that you will enjoy yourself when you come and watch our people perform in our cultural show. And again, Mr. Speaker, maraming salamat sa lahat sa iyo.
There are further special orders. Representative Montgomery.
To correct the previous announcement, free conference on the school bill is still going to try to meet before everyone changes their mind. And if the caucuses are not too long, we will meet immediately following the caucuses.
Representative Anderson. House, please send it. Please come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. Adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.